The Dave Ramsey Show, where common sense meets dollars and cents.
That's what happens with physical paper, money. There's a transaction. You're handing them money, they keep it. They hand you the item or the service, and you get to keep that. There was a trade. But when you hand them plastic, they give you the plastic back. But you need to realize what's happening psychologically. There was no trade. There was no transaction. You got to keep your plastic, and you took their stuff. See how that works emotionally? It changes everything.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays 4 to 5 on WILO.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight-up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here at Encompass Credit Union, we make loans that encompass all your vehicle needs. From RVs to motorcycles, cars, trucks, ATVs, and more. If it has wheels, we have the right rates and the right loan for you. Encompass Credit Union. Community-minded just like you. Online at EncompassCU.org.
Welcome back to Party Line on this Monday morning. Our fine sponsors include Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We are your free local online newspaper. Joining me on the phone this morning is a guy that I've been looking forward to talking to for a couple weeks now, and Dan, I was actually practicing how to pronounce your last name, Subotnick.
Just like it's written, Subotnick.
Yeah, I thought, let's not overthink that. It's Dan Subotnick with us. He's a professor of law at Touro Law School in Central Islip, New York.
Yeah.
Also the author of the book, Toxic Diversity, Race, Gender, and Law Talk in America. That covers a lot. Dan, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start off first. We'll talk about the book a little later. It does seem like this day and age, you know, it's just it's pretty upsetting when you're innocent until proven guilty in America, right? That's one of the great things we were founded on. But it doesn't seem to be the case in this day and age. And not everybody deserves a pass, but you got to stop and take a breath and look at everything. But boy, we just seem so polarized in America today.
It's true. The activists are saying that they're discriminated against in these investigations because the cops and the DAs are not taking women seriously. And so they go to the other extreme and say everybody should be believed at face value.
Well, I think that's very dangerous. Don't you agree?
It's very dangerous. Yes, there are a bunch of reasons for not believing women, by which I do not mean that most women are not credible, but that a number of women are not credible. And if we're going to perform justice for the men in these cases, we've got to recognize that. In fact, I'm not the only one who says that. My major source for this latest writing of mine comes from a woman who has sat in on disciplinary hearings. She was a dean at Michigan State University. And she says, unpleasant and unwelcome as this reality may be, the reality that women are uninformed, we should recognize it. Because as a matter of social justice, we believe you does not translate into individual adjudication. So she herself is calling for adjudications that are serious-minded, but that do not go overboard and give women a pass.
Well, again, I think it's a real dangerous road to go down, and I'm pretty conservative, but I'd like to think I can see both sides of things. But what people came out and did to Brett Kavanaugh was just terrible.
Yes, I think that's true. Let me give you my take on Brett Kavanaugh.
Please.
I think Brett Kavanaugh was roughhousing with the complainant, and that there's no way that was an attempted rape. He didn't try to take her clothes off. They were laughing, and he left when it became clear that he had gone as far as he could go. Now I'm not painting him with innocent colors here.
Right.
It was a nasty thing to do, but attempted rape, it was not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is all we talked about in America for almost a month, and again, we get back to the polarization. Everybody's taking sides, and I'm here on the air screaming, "Hey, what happened to innocent until proven guilty?"
Yeah. Well, again, if you go back to the beginning of this movement, you see that there are women who are not getting their justice because their complaints are not being taken seriously. But here's the thing. The way to avoid this, it seems to me, and I write this in very clear terms, is for the young women to be educated that they can leave and that they shouldn't, if they don't have sexual intent, they should not go with the men to their dorm rooms or invite the men to their dorm rooms.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you draw the line, which is not to say that a man who invites a woman into his dorm room has free access to her. It's just to say that there are certain signals. When you go to a man's dorm room, you're getting out a signal. You can reverse yourself any time, but you've got to take a step. You've got to reverse yourself. You can't just stay there, and then later on, 1 month, 2 months, 6 months later, proclaim that this was rape.
Well, I saw a couple of excerpts from your book. One thing that really stuck out to me is a national survey recently, Dan, said that nearly 1 in 10 people reported they have been falsely accused of sexual assault, domestic violence, or child abuse. And I know a couple people in my immediate family who were falsely accused a couple of years ago of child abuse, and they had some kind of CPS and the police over there and everything, and it was a misunderstanding of words, and their name was raked through over the coals in a small community, and it took them a couple of years to kind of get the word out. And there's probably still people out there who think they beat their kids,
probably so. My take on the 1 in 10 is that it's a little overstated, that in fact the rate seems to be between 6 and 8% of false rape accusations. But that's only the surface. There's more to it than that, because a false rape accusation means an accusation, a claimed rape that never took place. But you find, if you dig deeper into the literature, that there are a lot of women who are confused on this. That was something I was alluding to before. That there's a certain amount of guilt, even in 2019,
mm-hmm.
there's a certain amount of guilt that's associated. There are boyfriends who are hanging around and want to know what happened, and a claim of rape satisfies the boyfriend. A claim of rape satisfies feelings of sexual innocence that may come from a religious training. There's honor in this, and so you have reason to suppose that women, it's not that women are lying, but that women are confused themselves, young women are confused themselves, and therefore you can't simply say, we take your word for it.
It's self-delusion
in this case. Maybe that's the best way to describe
right.
it, self-delusion, right, rather than attempted rape.
So I was thinking about this interview a little bit Saturday when I was sitting at home, and I was thinking about what's one of the big contributors of false convictions, because I always hate to hear somebody was falsely accused of a crime, even if it was something serious like rape or murder 20 years ago, and he's been in prison for 18 years and Now DNA evidence has exonerated him. And I see in your book, false accusations and perjury are the leading contributor to wrongful convictions.
Well, I mean, I think that's true, but there's the other part that I mentioned, which is not false. Which is not false accusations. It's just misunderstood accusations,
yeah.
Self-delusional complaints,
or not knowing the whole story, right?
Yeah, without knowing the whole story, yeah.
The context.
You have to know the woman in question. Therefore, you have to interrogate the woman, which is precisely what the activists are trying to avoid.
Right.
The idea that interrogating a complainant is in effect a second rape, which is a ridiculous idea, but that's the idea that's being put forward.
Well, I want you to talk a little bit, Dan, if you would, about the Start by Believing campaign, because I was not aware of this until I saw you were coming on the show, and I want to read this. I want to read a couple sentences here, and I'm guessing you have some backup in your book about this. Research shows investigators who develop a belief early on that a suspect is guilty are far more likely to seek evidence that confirms the preconception, which is that they are guilty, and to reject evidence that counters the belief. So we're already starting behind the eight ball.
Yeah, we are.
So
that's just a reassertion of a principle that goes way beyond criminal trials or civil trials, for that matter. It's called the confirmation bias. That applies to everybody in all contexts.
Right. We're only human.
Adjudications. Yeah.
But you got to look. You know, these are people's lives we're playing with. What is the Start by Believing campaign, and who started that?
Well, that's a good question. I can't tell you who started it, but it's been going on for a while, it's an offspring of this idea that women's words are not taken seriously by the police and by the DAs. That's how we started the show. And there's something to it. There is something to it, but the question is how much? And the question is, are we bending over too far the other way? And my answer is yes, and maybe your answer is yes as well.
Well, it seems like the Start by Believing program, it starts with using, I guess, guilt-presuming language to where these people are automatically victims, not just, what would you call them, a complainant?
Right.
Or something. So they're automatically victims. So we start with, you know, acknowledging something's happened when we don't know if it's happened or not.
When we don't know if it's happened. That's right.
They may not be a victim.
They may not be a victim. That's correct.
Well,
and if you start, well, I think the activists start with the assumption that women do not enjoy sex and that sex is imposed upon them. And therefore, when they have sex and they're unhappy about it, the men have to be guilty.
Yeah. Well, again, that's a slippery slope there.
Slippery slope, yeah.
Well, I did a little research over the weekend that there was the Start by Believing group, which I guess was a Arizona Governor's Commission that started several years ago. Department of Justice has given them $1.4 million over the last 2 years. Sponsoring two regional conferences as well as numerous local events, have 3,200 people participating in its online training institute. So they're going to start by having a Start by Believing Day April 3rd of each year. And I guess the Department of Justice is going to keep throwing money at this. But again, I don't know, where do we try to head this off at the pass, Dan? What can we do?
Well, I think that the majority in America is not doing its job. We should be looking at these claims and responding and not being provoked into holding back. If we don't like these claims, we don't believe these claims, got to speak up. The problem is that when we do speak up, we are attacked. As racist, as sexist, and then we back off. We smart and we back off.
Right.
And that doesn't accomplish anything. I mean, it's un-American to do that. It's un-American to back off and give in to these threats and these calumnies.
Right.
So We have to go forward. We have to speak our minds, and we have to do so. You can't do so in academia. Academia is closed down to any criticism. I've seen it. I've been in this business for 35 years. You can't do it. So it has to be done on the grassroots level. And you guys are out there doing the work. And if you continue doing the work, we'll get past this point.
Well, I think you're doing your part, too, by writing a book and getting the word out there. What kind of reception has your book got? Is there people out there think you're just a crackpot, Dan?
Well, my book was barely reviewed. so, yes, that makes me a crackpot. I wrote about race and gender in the in the law school. You would think that the law schools would have picked it up, but I didn't get any law school reviews. I was very fortunate that NYU Press, New York University Press, published it, but no, I was shut down. Other things I've written and other people have written just don't get published.
Well, we've had a couple of them on the show, too, and they've told me the same thing. Dan, what's the best way to get your book? I'm guessing it's out there on Amazon.
It is. It is on Amazon, Toxic Diversity, Amazon. If you want more detail about the sexual assault area, you might look at Touro Law Review, T-O-U-R-O Law Review, winter issue, 2018. We'll get you to where you want to get, and you can just call it up, and it's free, and that'll really bring you up to date. It just came out a month ago,
okay,
a month and a half ago.
All right, very good. Is there anything else that do you have two or three things that you can tell us this morning that might make us see things a little differently? I think most people with common sense here in good old the Heartland USA of Frankfort, Indiana, have common sense. But is there anything that you could leave us with that may give us an epiphany and kind of a, maybe I need to find out the full context and information.
Maybe the best thing is, notwithstanding all the horror, the rate of sexual assault has gone down in the last 25 years, way down in the last 25 years. And yet we call ourselves a rape culture, or some people call our culture a rape culture. I mean, that's just nuts. I don't know that there's any more rape here than at any time in American history. I just don't know. The data aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you look at the Clery report, this is a kind of a technical point, but I think it says something. Clery reports are reports that are mandated upon the universities. The universities are required to report each year to the federal government about the number of sexual assaults and other kinds of crimes, and the Clery reports show a tiny, tiny rate of sexual assault on campus. I mean, I think the last time I checked was 3 in 10,000, right? Not 1 in 5, which is the prevailing thought, the prevailing charge.
Wow.
Something that Obama mentioned: 1 in 5 women are raped, sexual assaulted, I should say, on campus over the course of their 4 years there. But it's nowhere near that, according to this other report, the Clery report. So, it allows for cherry picking. If you want to go one way, you go that way, and you ignore all the data on the other side. And similarly for folks on the other side, we're not talking to one another. We're not stepping up and saying, "Now, wait a minute. Let's take this more slowly. Why are you claiming about a high rape rate of 1 in 5 women when, in fact, you have other data?" Officially compiled by the university that says that 3 in 10,000 are sexually assaulted.
Wow, yeah.
And the other thing, of course, is that sexual assault on campus, although a problem, does not match sexual assault rates off campus. So so that you're led to believe that there's something hellish about the university environment when there isn't.
Well, Dan, this is good food for thought, maybe a heavy topic on a Monday morning, but one we need to talk about nonetheless. And you keep up the good work. We appreciate your efforts up there in New York.
You too, Ken. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right. That's Dan Sobotnick. And again, the book is Toxic Diversity, Race, Gender, and Law Talk in America. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed that. We'll come back with more Party Line next on WILO.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Casper Media is a member of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world get together regularly and trade ideas on how to serve our communities and help our listeners. Casper Media has been a member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991 and has even hosted the Idea Bank convention over the years. Casper Media is proud to be a daily contributor to the International Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
At Milner Community Healthcare, we're blessed to be a part of restoring people's lives every day. From our loving and dedicated nursing team to our highly skilled therapist, Milner is your place for short-term rehabilitation. We treat a wide range of conditions using clinical programs proven to get the best results. Our goal is the same as yours, to get you back to good health and home as quickly as possible. Make the right choice for your recovery. Choose Milner Community Healthcare.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Welcome back to Party Line on a Monday morning. My name's Kevin Keith, and our sponsors include Welty Custom Exteriors. Welty works for you, and I know that because I saw Ryan leave this morning. We're neighbors, and I saw him pull it out of his driveway about a half hour before me. I don't know what he was doing, probably going to his warm office. But Welty and all his crew works for you. Above all, a good roof, right? Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, like a good neighbor, Susan is always there. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Simple Time Antique, step back into a simple time. Good morning, Michelle. And ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. We've got about 7 minutes left of the program. If there's something on your mind, we'll open the phones up right now at 659-3338 or 800-447-4463. You know, it's going to be cold for the next couple days. Tomorrow, the high will be 22, and we'll have wind chill ratings 9 below to 1 above. And we have the Clinton County Fair Council in here tomorrow on Party Line. Ken will be talking with some representatives of the Fair Council. And it just kind of puts in perspective that, you know, here it is feeling like 8 below, and these people are still working for our Clinton County Fair, and it was in rough shape a couple of years ago from just what I was told right before I moved here. But the crew that has kind of saved it, really, saved it from a really bleak future, are doing a bang-up job out there. They got all the right people at all the right places. So Clinton County Fair Council going to be in here talking about what they're doing this summer. And really, they're trying to make the fairgrounds a year-round venue. And, you know, you've, of course, got the 4-H building out there. You've got some other things. We've been doing the horse races, and we have a really good track, one of the best in the state for that. And I had a chance to do a Party Line from the fair last year, and that really opened my eyes up and to what a pretty cool fairgrounds we have. And again, the right people in the right places, at least in my opinion right now, out there doing a fine job, and they keep us abreast of everything happening, and they'll be in here to tell you all about it tomorrow morning. It's just you don't always think the fair in early March, do you? But they're always working. They're always working and trying to make it a viable thing year-round so they can make money with the property and buildings they have. Boy, I tell you what, if you look, I apologize, I don't have the map in front of me, but if you're standing over at the hospital and you look at the new building they're putting up there, that is going to be really cool. It'll really start to take shape here. Well, it's already taking shape, but it'll really start to look good here in the next couple months, and it'll really change the face out there. And I'm glad they're leaving the old little brick building there at the corner. Kind of just adds a little nostalgia to it. At the same time, not taking up a lot of space. I told you that me and one of Shell's kids were running around yesterday around Frankfurt. We drove past the mural, and he was almost in tears, this little nine-year-old was. But I took him down past Prairie Creek Park, and I hadn't been over there for a while. I drive past it about every day, but I hadn't been actually over there. And boy, they're moving dirt and getting things ready. You can see where they've done a lot of prep already. So I might go down there and park and try to stay out of their way and take some photos here in the next couple of weeks. But he asked me, he said, "What's going in there?" And I said, "A park." And he said, "Well, there's no room. This is a nine-year-old." And I said, "Oh, no, there's going to be room." But that was what I was thinking, too, is when we first started talking about it and seeing the plans, there's no room. But where there's a will, there's a way. And I told him something I was just as surprised about it when I heard, I think the mayor actually told me officially first about 4 or 5 months ago, Mayor Chris McBarnes, that they're going to have a large portion of this open for Hot Dog Festival. That'll be the dedication. So they're moving ground out there even as we speak. I don't know if they're doing it out here where it's 2 degrees or not, but they had a lot of equipment out there, and they're getting it done. So that's pretty cool to see it all come about. The Skywatch weather forecast is colder today, mostly sunny, a high 15. And then wind chill readings still 4 below, mostly clear tonight, low 8, wind chill readings 9 below, mostly cloudy tomorrow, chance of flurries till midday, high 22, wind chill readings 9 below, on and off. And then Tuesday night, low 10, partly cloudy, starts to warm up and head north in the right direction. Wednesday, sunny, high 25, Thursday, cloudy with a chance of snow, high 32, Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of snow, high 38, but both Saturday and Sunday, chance of rain and a high 48 degrees. So we will we'll at least be in the 40s this weekend, all right? It's a little something to look forward to there. Well, today is Monday, March 4th, 63rd day of the year, 302 days until the end of the year. On this day in 1789, the Constitution of the United States went into effect. 1789. Vermont was admitted to the Union as the 14th state on this day in 1791. On this date in 1861, Abraham Lincoln was inaugurated as the 16th president of the United States. In 1933, FDR pledged to lead the country out of the Great Depression during his inauguration speech. In 1994, comedian John Candy died of heart failure at the age of 43, while filming the Wagons East movie in Mexico. I was a big John Candy fan. I just loved all his stuff from the 80s. He's kind of one of those comedians you either really liked or you really didn't. But I just, you know, just the slapstick, and he was overweight and just always made fun of himself, and, you know, just a pretty good character. I've missed him. It's hard to believe it's been that long ago, but he passed away on this day in 1994. At the early age of 43. Also passing away on this date in 1996, country singer and comedian Minnie Pearl. She lived to be 84. It was 2001, disco singer Glenn Hughes of the Village People died at the young age of 50. Hughes was the man in leather in the flamboyant, colorful ensemble. And John Lennon was honored by ice cream maker Ben & Jerry's with the Imagine World Peace, World, W-H-I-R-L-E-D, not world, the Imagine, quote-unquote, World Peace flavor on this day in 2008. So that's pretty cool. Just a couple things there if you're looking to maybe make yourself a little smart today around the water cooler. Tell them Kevin said this morning. So, again, fair counsel tomorrow. The new executive director for the YMCA, Tristan Comegys, is coming in on Wednesday. Author Richard Green will talk about behind-the-scenes chaos at the IRS. That ought to be good. We'll be talking to him Thursday on the phone. And then our very own friend of WILO, Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes, coming in this Friday. He'll be sitting down in the studio talking about a whole host of things. So you got that to look forward to this week. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to our sponsors, too. They are Wealthy Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Encompass Credit Union, Miller Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 8:30 for another edition of Party Line. Have a great day from WILO.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO.